Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
It's better to be prepared,
for an opportunity
and not have one,
than to have an opportunity
and not be prepared.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
You're not paying attention. No, 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 no. Pay attention. Every adult in your family should have a current will. Who's going to take care of your children if something happens to you? Are you going to just let the courts decide their welfare? If you become ill, who's going to stand over your bed making decisions regarding your health care? If you pass away, who's going to handle your business? Visit www.howtogetawill.com to learn more. Handle your business now. None of this will be a worry for you tomorrow. Visit www.howtogetawill.com and handle your business.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network. All black, all news, all you. We're changing the way Chicago communicates with the world. CBBN Business Journals, weekdays at 11 a.m. CST. To listen now, visit chicagosblackbusinessradionetwork.com. Sonia Cassandra Perdue, executive producer.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to our Chicago connections and to those of you who are listening to our podcast from around the world. We hope that this broadcast finds you in good health, good fortune, and blissfully content. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, executive producer of Chicago's Black Business Radio Network and your host for this segment. This segment is called CBBN Business Journals. This is where we interview business owners, authors, and other innovators from around the world. All of our shows have, from the very beginning, been dedicated to keeping the memory of Mayor Harold Washington on the minds and in the hearts of our people. How do you remember Harold Washington? Want to give a shout-out to Minister Robert Plump, who has been the head of the Harold Washington Foundation, Inc., for 26 years. On April 15, 2022, this year, the organization will be celebrating the 100th birthday of Mayor Harold Washington. Call Minister Plump at 312-671-2773 to find out how you can participate. I understand that they're planning a caravan and other activities, a day in the park, and all kind of things as part of this celebration. Contact Minister Plump at 312-671-2773. We love writers, artists, poets, spoken word artists, all of them, and anyone with the gift, a gab, and the desire to share their knowledge with us. Our guest today is Yamuel Bradley, who is the author of 7 books. I always admire people who complete tests. Wow, 7 books. Yamuel.
Yes.
How are you today?
So thank you. Thank you for having me. I am awesome and blessed and encouraged.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're going to focus on 2 books today. The first one is Winning from Start to Finish, and the words that jumped out at me were, self-discipline would always be your strongest form of self-love. These words stand out for me because of my lack of self-discipline. And the other book we will discuss today is Get Your Head Out of Your Ass, and I won't even attempt to explain that one. I'll leave it up to Bradley, okay? Welcome to the show. Now, the first thing we I'm not even try that. But I'm going to first ask you, before you became this writing machine, this furious writing machine, tell us who you were then. Who were you before all of this?
Well, before I started writing and everything, I was unconscious. Didn't know who I was or where I was going. I was my only education was the streets, and my wisdom was just to be a better street educated than anything else, because I didn't know. I had a lot of issues when growing up as a child. My mother was murdered at a young age. I was raised by my grandmother, father in and out of prison. And me, my cousins, and my relatives, we all kind of, the younger generations kind of raised ourselves. Our cousins became our brothers and our sisters. And growing up, that's how it was. And, the struggle with a young black man. But the weird part about it is when I did wake up, I was ashamed because I realized that I myself had created the image who I had become. And it was time for a change.
We hear these stories often, and it's many don't get the chance, Mr. Bradley, to live long enough to make that change. They die in their circumstances, mm-hmm. but fortunately, you made it through, and you made the change. So you know both sides of that story. Our guest today on CBBN Business Journals is Mr. Yamuel Bradley, author of Get Your Head Out Your Ass and Winning from Start to Finish, and five other publications. And you can find him on YamuelBradley.com. That's YAMUEL Bradley.com. And you're listening to CBBN Business Journals. If you want to be a guest on our show, give us a call at 773-609-2226. 773-609-2226. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a natural writer, or are you a trained writer? And what influenced you to begin writing or to take that particular role?
Well, at a young age, I believe I was around 9 years old, I wrote my first chapter, and it was a Halloween story. And when I first began going to church a while ago, back in 92, when I started going to church, 93, you know how that spirit moves you? When I'm at home from listening to the preacher, I used to write sermons down, and then the sermons became a book. I'm still looking for that book back then that I had wrote at that time, because I believe it was pretty good. And right then I knew I had the ability to write, but I didn't follow through with it until I was married. And when I got married, I found out that the woman that I had married had another man's baby in her stomach, and it broke my heart. And my first book, A Lover's Guide to Happiness, was on regards to how a man should love a woman and how a woman should love a man. And that was written on me envisioning the woman that I would love for the rest of my life and writing to her as a whole. And then when I started writing to her, I started writing to my children. Because when I was in prison, I had started wondering what it is that I can do to better myself, to better my mindset, to change my will and my ways. So I started reading psychology books that talked about the affect of individuals that were in my positions, effect on the children's lives that we left behind. And as I was reading, it was telling me how my actions and what they would do to my children. And as I was looking at the effect of what I was doing to my children, I realized how that had affected me. And I did not want my children to follow in my footsteps, so I began to change.
I got you. Now, you have several books, and you can tell us the title of those, several books based on the love theme. Now, these are not romance novels. Three or four of them. Tell us what type of love stories those are, or how those are connected with love and relationships. Share that with our readers. What's the title of those books, and how are they connected?
Well, you have A Lover's Guide to Happiness. That is the beginning journey of the A Lover's Guide to Happiness series. And that just talks about, that's mainly on how a man should love a woman and how a woman should love a man. It talks about red flags to look for in a relationship and how to overcome certain circumstances when you're in a position, when you're being pressured to be in a relationship or pressured or bullied into a relationship. And then I wrote my second book, A Lover's Guide to Happiness Increase. And that one spoke on stories of children and real life stories of people who were affected through their parents' decision to just fall in love and bring anybody into their atmosphere. Because as a child, we trust our parents. And in trusting our parents, we trust those that they bring around, regardless of where that person may have been through. And the actions of that individual on that child or on that person affected them to fall into the relationship patterns that they're in right now. And there are real-life stories on what they did and how they came out of it, from child molestations to just parent abuse to how real-life relationships and circumstances could affect the relationships of that child and anybody coming up in the future. The second book, Get Your Head Out Your Ass. Now, my other books, Get Your Head Out Your Ass. Now, this one I wrote because I was, while interviewing people, so many people were complaining. They were whining about the position that they were in, even though they put themselves in it. And some of them were in relationships where they were being bullied and not being respected for sacrificing what they could be to get somebody else where they want them to be. And that talks about people coming out of that mindset of, I have to help you to be happy, even though it's going to jeopardize my happiness. It's a whole bunch.
All of it's a whole bunch, and very seriously, yeah. So. This is Sonia Cassandra, yes. Perdue, and we're speaking to Yamuel Bradley, and we're talking about some of his books that he has written. Now, let me just go back to one thing, the books on love and relationships, which adults need classes on, because it's almost impossible to come out of childhood, come out of your teenage years and your young adult years, never having been around people, and this is not unusual, and you know this, never having been around people who themselves could not establish healthy and quote-unquote normal, and I use that word very loosely because everybody's not the same, relationships with other members of the opposite sex. Women I've never been married, but women who repeatedly chose men and men who repeatedly chose women who are truly not worthy of them unless that's what they like. But a child watching all of this, and you can speak on this and I can speak on it too, cannot come out of that life knowing what a relationship is. I had to watch other families with their mothers and fathers and trying to have a normal life to understand what that was. So people who cannot, mothers and fathers who cannot maintain any kind of healthy, I'll use that word loosely too, relationship, can't teach other people how to do it because they can't even select the mate. That's worth a damn. That's all I can say about it. So we need some classes on that. We need to really, as adults and very, very, and young adults, okay, to really talk about these things, you know. So I'm glad you got those books out there on that and that people are talking about their relationships, because I'm sure you find and you tell me they keep repeating the same things over and over again. You refer to it as the cycle, and it is a cycle. Can you speak on the cycle and how they can break that cycle?
Well, the cycle comes from being unconscious. Now, we become unconscious because the only knowledge we have is that which we see growing up as a child. And then once that's what we see, that's what we become, especially with the culture that surrounds us. If we're not going to, if at our family barbecues that our children go to, everybody's getting high, everybody's drinking, there's nobody instructing that child to be a better person, nobody taking that child at that basketball court that's right there and instructing that child on how to even receive compliments and receive instruction, then that's where it comes to the unconsciousness, because our mind becomes a block and a wall. And when that, we know how what happens when a rock hits a wall, all it does is falls right back off. It doesn't go through. And this is the mindset of a lot of children. This was my mindset, because as growing up, I had that block. I had that wall where it blocked me from hearing anything that was good, any good information that said you can be and do anything that you want to be, because I didn't hear it as a child. And so if we're not delivering this message to our children growing up, if we're not delivering this message to our children and the school itself, we have to do that which we're not used to doing as a parent. You know, because the way I became a better father is I had to be the father that I always wanted as a child. And when we have people in art with my background or with similar backgrounds to raise their child, they have to do that which they don't know, and that is be that parent that they've always wanted that child to be. And in being that parent, that means doing the things that we weren't taught how to do, and the only way we can do it is by learning, is by studying up on it, but then by acting on it by our actions.
I'll give you an example. I grew up in Chicago housing and projects, which was predominantly female residents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When these projects were built in the beginning, they were families. There were men and women families together, okay? But as time went on, this changed. And so these were predominantly head of household female residents. And so their daughters come up the same way. Head of household female residents. Head of household, the grandchildren come up the same way. Head of household female residents. And we start to think that this is normal, which is abnormal. Mm-hmm. But we're not discussing this as though it's abnormal. We're discussing this, that it's okay, and this is all right to be this way. But there's something missing. Mm-hmm. The man is missing. The whole family structure is male, female, and gay people just get all up in the air if you want. Male, female, and the children. And surrounded by that, mm-hmm. and there's a reason for that. It didn't just happen yesterday or 100 years ago, it happened at the beginning, all right? Mom, dad, kids.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
we begin to think that this is normal, a normal life, and that we're not missing anything because we don't even know what we're missing, and that if you don't see your father for 3 or 4 times a year, it's not a big deal unless, you know, you're just really missing him, because this is normal. If I saw my father for 3 or 4 times a year, I wasn't mad. It wasn't like I was crying because I didn't see him or my mother either, because it was
mm-hmm.
like this is normal. This is the way it is. My grandmother raised me as well. And so that's a
mm-hmm.
sad, sad affair right there. And adults really need to talk about this, and they need some classes on how to think about it in a different way. You don't have to. You can live without a man if you want to, all that kind of stuff, but it makes
right.
for a different life. And it has an effect on your children and how they relate to the opposite sex. They can't. They don't know how, because you don't know how. And that's really the big part of the problem. You don't know how to relate to the opposite sex So everything is opposition. Everything is angry. Everything is all about something that it's really not about. And so, yes, we do need to talk about love and relationships and how, and I'm not sure what you say in your books, but how you figure people should love each other and how you do that may not be the way that other people should. But I'm just thinking that other people should really take a look at what's really going on. So all these female all these female households without all these men, and the few men are there, you know, there's some jealousy there about her man and this man over there and that kind of thing, you know. And during that era, women started having babies by a whole lot of different men, whereas before they were still having babies by different men, but they was married to a man, okay? But so that became different. You got this child, the lady lived next door to me, had a baby every year by somebody different. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, now I knew something was wrong with that. But anyway, love and relationships. And I don't know how many men write about love and relationships. I don't think many of them do. Go ahead. You have something you want to say?
A lot of, yes, a lot of people, you know, they it comes down to what is love. What is real love? What is agape love? What is boyfriend love? What is girlfriend love? What is husband love? But at the end of the day, it comes down to what is love. So a lot of people, a lot of individuals, including myself at that time, before I understood what love was, I was never in love with the person. I was in love with the feeling. See, a lot of people, they get into a relationship or they meet somebody, and you know how they say they got the honeymoon period. Well, in that honeymoon period, they're in love with that feeling. And once that honeymoon period is over with, and that feeling that you were getting in the beginning dwells away and it's gone, now you're getting some negativity, you still believe that honeymoon period is there because that's what we fell in love with. And now we find ourselves in a situation with somebody who don't love us, who we don't love, and because only thing that we cared about was being in that feeling, because we've never had that feeling before. And once we get a feeling that we've never had before and fall in love with that feeling, then we find ourselves chasing it. And we chase it, and we go from person to person chasing that feeling. And then as we're going from person to person, we're not using protections. We're leaving ourselves open for failure. And we're getting ridiculed, abused, and all these other things, which bring on a different mindset to us as a whole. And now we're just full-blown, I'm going to find this person if I got to go through 100 people. And now we done been through 5 relationships in 5 months or in a year or even in 2 years, and we're still single even though we're in a relationship.
I got you. I guess today is on CBBM Business Journals is Mr. Yamuel Bradley, author of Get Your Head Out Your Ass and Winning from Start to Finish and 5 other books. Now, I dog-eared one of your chapters in Winning from Start to Finish, Chapter 5. Why do you think you deserve what you want? And I tell you why that jumped out at me as I was flipping through the book. Because we always begging, wishing, and praying for something. But most have never, including me, asked the question. It's like if you believe in a God figure and God asks you, why should I do that for you? You know, what could we give as an answer? Most people couldn't answer that. Why should I help you with that? You know, I didn't read the chapter because I want to let you give the listeners your take on it. It's like, why should I do that? You know, why do you deserve it? And we don't know why we deserve it. We just want it. But why should God or why should anybody do that? Why do you deserve what you want? So I'm gonna let you give us your take on that chapter.
Well, a lot of people believe that they deserve something. People on the job, people in a relationship, people not in a relationship, We have so many people. I've ran across so many individuals in my process of writing this book, and my coworkers who have believed that they should be in a position that they're not qualified for, or even if they are qualified for but don't deserve. So when I asked them this question, why do you deserve this position, or why do you deserve that which you want, it was hard for them to answer that. So I explained to them, when you really truly know why you deserve what you want, then you're going to do your, when you realize that, and if you even put it in the mirror, on the mirror, and every day you see that and you ask yourself, why do I deserve what I want? Why do I deserve this specific thing? Why do I deserve this specific thing? Then when you open up your mindset to actually being able to visualize why you deserve it, and then acting on the things and the tools you need to do, we need to do as an individual to get that which we deserve. Because we believe that we deserve something, but we just want it to be given to us. We don't want it we don't want to relate to what it actually consists of, deserving this. Like, I deserve $1 million, right? But I'm not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do nothing to get it. You know, I deserve to win the lottery, but I'm not going to go buy a lottery ticket. You know, so this is one of the reasons why I wrote this, because I wanted people to actually understand what it is that they truly want. And then once they understand what they truly want, now it's asking, what is it that you can do to get this? So if you lost a job, or you were in competition with a job and you lost it, and that other person received that position, why do you believe that you deserve that position more than that other person? Okay, now that you understand that, now what tools and what actions are you going to do the next time that position comes around to actually earn it and deserve it anymore? So not just you know why you deserve it, but the person who's you're interviewing with, or the person who sees you, knows that you deserve it.
Now, you know you done started something here. I'm a little bit hanky, because I'll be going around asking people. You started something. I mean, it's just going to blow up. I know it is, you know. I don't have anybody against anybody who practices the Christian religion. My sister's Jehovah's Witness. People, mm-hmm. you know, they know everything. You can practice whatever mm-hmm. you want, okay? But
yeah.
All this begging and wishing and prayer, I'm going to ask them, well, why should God give you that? Why you think you deserve yeah. that from God? And that's getting ready to start a whole mm-hmm. bunch of mess. Watch me. But anyway, yeah. I think one of the most important things I'm telling you,
you
started
to,
something.
What are you doing to get that? Yeah. What are you doing to?
Yes.
What are you doing that will make God say yes that the next person isn't doing? Because at the end of the day, we may deserve something. But if you're doing the same thing that another individual is doing, and just because you both are doing the exact same thing, it means the weight, nobody's weight is heavier. You know, it's like the scales. If you're both doing the same thing, then it's even. So you both deserve it. So you really don't deserve it more than that other individual. If you're going into a position, if you're looking to go to the next level in life as a person or in a career, we always have to do more. If we want more, we can't do less or the same, correct?
This is so true, and it has never changed. It has never changed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the, I'm telling you, you started it, I'm going to let you know. But there's going to be a lot of people ticked off. But anyway, I think a question that is, I don't even know if it's just as important or equally as important is for us to ask is, why do you want that? Because we don't know
that
we want the thing, and that's a difficult question in a lot of instances, mm-hmm. okay? Why do you want that? And if you stop and ask yourself that, it's going to be some weird answers coming out of that, because you probably, many people are not going to be able to express why they want it. Well, I just want it, you know. So I think that goes along with that. Why do you want that? You know, well, that's a question we need to ask ourselves about some of the things that we do. And I need to ask myself that about all this multitasking I'm doing over here like I'm crazy. But why do you want that?
Why do you want that? Yes. And then after that question, you follow up with it. Now, if you were to get it, what would you do with it? What would you do
and
with
it
that
might
which
find,
you
it doesn't even have any value for them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They might find that they really don't want it. And if they get it, they really wouldn't know what to do with it anyway.
Right. And you know, like we're talking about lottery. We're talking about people, even all-star athletes that put in all that work to become millionaires, and now they're all broke. You know, they put in all this money to go. You have people that's going to get an education, that's in graduating, and they're working at AMPMs. They're working at stores that their level of education that they went to in college surpasses. Because now that they got that which they wanted, they don't know what to do with it. So it just comes down to us really researching ourselves as a person, finding that which we love and that which we want to do. And that's one of the reasons why Winning From Start to Finish came into place, because my general manager, he's active in making sure that everybody progresses. But anything that we do in life, there has to be discipline if we want to succeed. If we want to wake up and have a beautiful morning, we got to make sure we don't push that snooze button too many times, because we're going to wake up groggy, or we're going to miss some of the things that we could have had. We're going to be late or find ourselves rushing to work when we could have got up, drank that coffee, woke up a little bit, got dressed, and had time to sit back and do some meditation or even the prayer and go out that door on a good note. So it becomes hard when we want to go to the next level in life, whether it be being a better parent, whether it be just being a better person, grabbing an education, reading a book. A lot of people don't read books. So what I tell them is read two paragraphs a night. And then next thing you know, if you do read two paragraphs a night, you ain't got to read a chapter. Start with two paragraphs. You're going to find yourself reading four paragraphs. You're going to find yourself reading a chapter. You're going to find yourself finishing a book in 2 days or 3 days faster than you would have did if you had just tried to just read the book. You would have stopped and put it up on the shelf, and it'd still be sitting there, and you're not even started it. When we go out when we attempt to educate ourselves in everything that we do, we can never stop. Because there's too much knowledge in this world for us just to sit back and think that the knowledge that we have is enough.
This is true. And many people think that. They just stop. They call it stuck. I'm going to, we got a couple of more minutes here. We got a few more minutes here. I'm going to ask you a couple of more questions. And what has been your best experience with your readers? Tell us about your relationship with your readers.
My readers are awesome. When I wrote my first, when I wrote my second book, A Lover's Guide to Happiness Increase, there was a gentleman who I used to run with in the past. He was going through some things, and he had came up to one of my book signings at one of our, it's called a white party where everybody wears white. After he had purchased the book, 3 days later, or I think may have been a week later, I'm walking from my father's house to the corner store, and a car pulls up and stops in front of me. I see him hop out, and his wife hops out, and she comes up to me. He says, "This is him, baby. This is him." And she gives me a hug. She says, "I just want to thank you, because my husband has been reading your book, In A Lover's Guide to Happiness, and has been following the steps that you gave. And I just want to tell you, these short days, I feel like I'm on a honeymoon already. And it just blew my mind. Almost when they left, I almost was in tears because I realized that book that I wrote saved a life. And they're still doing awesome to this day. You know, so in the books that I've written, for my readers, I'm getting, they're calling me saying with the winning from start to finish, they're telling me I see myself. It's like you're talking to me when I read this, and it just moves my spirit. So I'm just blessed that God has given me these books to write, because I didn't do it myself. Before I write any book, I have to pray. I have to ask God to give it to me, to direct me, because I can't do this by myself. I need his blessings just to write anything.
Okay, I got you. Now let me ask you this. There was a person in my group. I'm not sure if you're in our group, Chicago's Black Business Network on Facebook, and We've got about 23,000 people over there. And, you know, those same people belong to like a million groups, you know. They come over there and post their little things and they run around. But it was one person who asked me about a book club, if I wanted to start a book club. And I said, you know, my plate is full, which it is. I honestly, Mr. Bradley, cannot put one more thing on my plate, even though I keep doing it. I just can't. I can't do it. And I have to realize I can't do it. There's not enough hours in the day for me to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? And so I told her, I say, I can't add anything else. I mean, and I'm just being honest about it. I mean, I could do it. I could start organizing. I asked them if they wanted to do it. I think that relationship book, you know, they like to talk about relationships, but they like to do it in a negative way. You know, they'll tear something like that up, okay? But I think that relationship book, I'm going to put you in touch with that person. And then if you and her would like to do that, you're welcome to do it over there. I'll help you share it and that type of things. But I can't organize it. So you don't have to make the decision right now, okay? But let me know later on, because I know your plate is full too, okay? But if two or three people take it on, it would lighten their load a little bit, okay? So let me know. You don't have to let me know right now. Let me know, you know, in a week or so, if it's something that you would like to do with that book or one of those relationship books, okay? I'll open up my group and my network to discuss relationships in a different way. And I'm gonna put you in touch with because I'm a connector, honey. I'm gonna put you in touch with Tim O.T. He's in Detroit. Okay. Now, what city and state are you in?
I'm in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
Over in the northwest, out here by Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Now, he has this show, Heart to Heart Relationship Talk Show. So I'm going to put you in touch with him. He has a TV show where he does, and that's what they talk about, relationships. All kind of stuff. It's comedy too. They comedians too. But I'm gonna put you in touch with him as well, because that sounds like something that would fit into something like that too. Okay, and you might want to connect with him and come on some you know, they Zooms and stuff, you know, and give your answers and talk about what you do and stuff. They're good people. They're young people out there. In Detroit, we're from different places, and they're good people. I like sitting in. I'm probably the oldest person in the whole Zoom. But I like, and they get a little wild with it, but I like it. I like listening to them, and they're achievers as well, you know. So I like listening to what they're doing. Somebody owns a cannabis shop, and they're busy, okay? So I'm going to put you in touch with Tim and the book club. I have to write everything down because I'm old now. You're listening to CBBN Business Journal. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, and executive producer for CBBN Business Journal. If you'd like to be on our show, give me a call, 773-609-2226, 773-609-2226. I know I had a lot more questions here. We got a couple of minutes, and I'm going to let you close out and share what it is, what else you want to share for a couple of minutes. Go ahead. You got the floor.
Okay, well, life isn't easy. Every day is a test, but it's a test within ourselves. But it's a test: is are we gonna win in this day, or are we gonna treat this day as we're gonna lose in this day? We have to take every opportunity of every minute that we're given as soon as we wake up. Our mindset, our body, our physical, and everything has to be in place. But most importantly, our spiritual mindset. As a black man, as a white man, as a Native American, Chinese, whatever you are, we have to be focused on the true prize, and that is success within ourselves. It doesn't have to be success financially, because there are so many people who are happy and have less than most. But however, if we can stay focused in everything that we're doing on our job, in our household, with our family, and guide our children in the right direction. Do that which we don't want to do. Sit down and read our child a book. Sit down for 10 minutes after that child gets out of school and ask them about their day and encourage them before they go to school and let them know how amazing that they are. We have to open up not just our minds, but the minds of those that are around us, and it starts at the children at a young age. So we can do that. We're going to have success in everything that we do. I got a book signing coming up down here at the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington. It's with the Northwest Women's Show. If there's anybody that's going to be in the neighborhood, go ahead and stop on in. It's going to be November 12th on Saturday and November 13th, 2 days at the Tacoma Dome. And there's going to be another book that's going to be coming out. My next book may be called In Love with the Feeling, Not with the Man. And that's going to be another relationship book that's going to be really, really in-depth on grinding ourselves, knowing who it is that we get in a relationship with before we bring them around our family, because that's important. When we bring people around our family that we believe we know and make our family believe that we trust them, our family's going to trust them. The kids in our family's going to trust them. And this is going to be one of my plans in the book, to get out and to show people how to actually understand that who they're actually bringing into their relationship. Because this is just, they're going to change the lives of everybody who's around them, and including themselves. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you. It's a true blessing. It's just knowing that the things that you're doing out there is touching the lives and changing lives is awesome. And I want to congratulate you on accomplishments that you have done so far, Sonia.
I want to thank you very much for that. Now tell us where we can find your books online.
Yes, you can find my books on Barnes & Noble and on Amazon.com. If you want a signed copy of a book, you go to my website, www.yamuelbradley.com. That's www.yamuelbradley.com. And you can order a book on there, and I'll send you a signed autographed copy of the book, or you can order it on Amazon. Just look up my name, Yamuel Bradley, and it'll pop on up there for you to purchase.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being with us. Chicago's Black Business Radio Network is an Afrocentric media organization, and it's designed to express the collective interest of the black world community through its broadcast. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue. This segment is called CBN Business Journals. We share so that we can all grow from the experience of our guests. To sponsor a show or to be a guest on CBN Business Journals, give us a call at 773-609-2226. That's 773-609-2226. 2226. I want to thank you for being with us today, and good night. Good night, Mr. Bradley. Good night, everyone.
Good night.